find it okay, Mark chapter 4.
Working our way through the Gospel of Mark. We did the first 20 verses last week. Oh, last week we studied the parable of the... The parable of the sower, which is really the parable of the soils, because that's what the parable is all about. Four different kinds of soils, remember last week, representing four different kinds of hearers of the Word of God. Remember the four different kind of hearers? There's the person with the hard heart, there's the person with the shallow heart, there's a person with the crowded heart, and then there's a person with the good heart. And the one thing I want to remind you of, especially as we move into today, is that in none of those situations was there ever anything wrong with the seed that was sown, right? It was only the heart that received the seed. And so, as we saw last week, we're going to see today, the seed represents the Word of God. And so, how we respond to the Word of God is never a reflection on the Word of God. It's a reflection of our own heart. So here, let's read. We're walking our way up to 29 today. And just because I want to not forget, next week, if the Lord tarries, finish chapter 4. Read ahead. There's your homework. Read ahead, because we'll finish chapter 4 next week. So read it through 27 or 38 times or something, you know, and really get a good understanding of what God's saying. Then when you come into church, you'll have a pretty good basis by which maybe we can share more, get a little deeper into what's going on. Chapter 4 of Mark, verse 21. Also he, speaking of Jesus, of course, said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." 24, then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." And 26, and he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Here, let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that we have a copy of it in our own language. And we thank you that you're our teacher. And we ask your Holy Spirit to plant your word, God, into our hearts. And Lord, pray our hearts would be real soft. And that you'd plow up the fallow ground in our hearts, Lord. And you'd plant this deep into us for the fruit that you would have in our lives, Lord. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, verse 121, you'll see a couple of different parables he talks about here. Notice Jesus tells them that the lamp isn't to be hidden, right? You don't light a lamp and then hide it. You don't put a lamp under a bed, it says there, but you put it on a lampstand, right? And if you'd go back into Matthew chapter 5, which is in a parallel account of this, Jesus talks about a city that's on a hill, and he's saying that you can't hide a city that's on a hill. Its light will shine throughout the region. And we also learned last week why Jesus spoke in parables. Remember? The word parable means to come alongside, to cast alongside. So Jesus takes something familiar, something physical, and that's related to their daily lives, and he lays it alongside a spiritual truth that he's trying to communicate to them in order that they might understand the spiritual truth more fully. And so we see that today. Just physical things that we all can relate to, and then there's a spiritual truth to that, or many spiritual truths to that. So in this parable then, 21, he uses a very common object, a lamp, in a familiar place, a home. And the lamp was just a clay dish that was filled with oil and had a wick stuck inside of it. And in order to give light, the lamp had to use itself up, right? And the oil had to be replenished. And if the lamp wasn't lit, or if it was covered up, it did the home no good. And so how it ties into us, even though, you know, the statement's simple, but the application's powerful, we're that lamp. And we need to be filled up with the Holy Spirit of God, right? The oil, the Holy Spirit of God. And then God uses that in our lives to reflect His glory. That's what He's talking about. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus says, "You're the light of the world," remember? And so since we're the light of the world, we can't be hiding our light. And then notice in 22, he says, "For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret that it should come to light." Now people often use this verse to say that anything you've ever done wrong, or anything you ever said wrong, or anything you ever thought wrong is going to be exposed. But that isn't what Jesus is saying here at all. Jesus is saying that the truth that He has sown, He wants to be revealed. That's what He's saying. He's saying, I don't want people to be in darkness concerning my ways or my heart. I want my light to shine throughout the land. And we see here one of the things about God that really blows me away. And that the God of the Bible is a God who's made Himself known. He's not up in heaven playing some spiritual hide and seek with us, or in this spiritual maze that we got to try to figure out how we can get to where we can have revelation from God or get to know God. Now, He has revealed Himself to us in a numbers of ways. One, through creation, remember? You know, there's many ways that God has communicated His love for us, His existence to us. It says that surely the heavens declare the glory of God. So God testifies of Himself through His creation in a voice that everyone can see, everyone can hear, everyone can understand. But beyond that, to those who have a heart to seek after God, to those who desire to understand spiritual truths, and that's us because we're here, and there's differing measures of that, but that's us, those who desire to know the things of God, God will make Himself known. And He does it through His Word. He'll take the deeper things about Himself and He'll bring them to light. One of the favorite verses that I have is found in Amos chapter 3. It's verse 7. It says this, "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secret to His servants, the prophets." Amos 3:7. Let me read it again. "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secret to His servants, the prophet." See, God loves to take His secrets, the deep things of Himself, and reveal them to us. It's one of the reasons that we study the Bible. For instance, we study Bible prophecy. It's because God has revealed to us what's coming. It's right here. And all we have to do is dive in, and we can dive into whatever depth we like. And see, to those who are really seeking, the parables that Jesus spoke, they weren't a hindrance to them. They're a tremendous help. And that's what Jesus is teaching throughout this little section. Okay? Now, there's a deeper truth to this parable, because once God reveals His truth to us, He doesn't want us to hide what we know of Him and how we experience Him and all those things. But He wants us to shine His love and His light forth from our lives for the entire world to see. Matthew 5:16, again, Matthew 5 is the parallel account to this. But when Jesus finished this teaching, He gave Matthew 5:16, which if you're a note taker, I encourage you, go back and read some of this. But here's what Jesus says in Matthew 5:16. Again, after Jesus gave this teaching, He says this, "Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. One of the greatest truths about the Christian life is that God has taken us from darkness into light, and He wants to shine His light through us into the world. God desires for you to live in His light. He desires for you to walk in His light. He desires for you to display His light. So the question comes, are we doing that? Did people see the light of God in you as you coached your ball team yesterday? Little 7-year-olds in T-ball, but did people see the light of God in you? Did people see the light of God in you at work this week when you negotiated that contract? Did they recognize the light of God in you there? Now, I understand there are situations that we come across that we're unable to speak about our faith. But it's not always about what we say. It's about what we do. Remember again, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So there are times that we're unable to talk about Jesus, but we can always live our lives for Jesus. Another verse, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We have the light of God in us. Jesus snatched us out of darkness and placed you into light. So walk in it. That's all he's saying. Walk in it and let it shine from you. Keep going with me then in 23. If you have ears to hear, let him hear. 24, then he says to him, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it'll be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever has does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. This parable is just full of truth, full of application. Now let's remember the context. You know, we started with the parable of the sower, right? He's been talking about the seed being the Word of God. And as it goes into good ground, it produces a fruit. And so here in 24, he tells us how the seed of the Word of God will be maximized when it's sown in your life. And here's how. When you put it into practice. When you become a doer of God's Word. Not just a hearer of God's Word. See, if you do the Word of God, put into practice what you hear, Jesus says, I'll give you more revelation of me. In fact, Jesus says there, with the same measure you use the Word of God, it'll be measured back to you. The more you use, the more God will give. And this is exactly how it works in God's economy. To him who hears and does, more will be given. But to him who hears and does not do, even what he has will be taken away. That's what Jesus said. Another way that I think that we could put this is this, that God doesn't care necessarily how much you know. He cares about what you do with what you know. Amen? I mean, it's so nice that we might know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But if we don't practice it, what good does it do? If we sit on some holy hill and all we do is talk to each other about the deeper things of God and wrestle with those kind of things, what good has it done to the world, a needy world, their co-workers and things? No, it's good that we know. We need to know. We want to study and get revelation of God. But here he talks about the importance of the practical application of what we know is that people might see. That people might recognize there is a God who loves them. There is a God who offers salvation to them. There is a way to go to heaven. That's what he's talking about here. And when you have a heart to hear the Word of God, and then you do what it tells you to do, God's going to open up his Word to you. And he's going to pour more revelation into your life. On the other hand, if you're a Bible critic, and if you critique everything, then God says, you know what, that revelation is going to dry up. You know, I think about the attitude that Samuel had when he said to the Lord, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. That's a good heart to have. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. That's the attitude I want. Lord, I come to your word just to hear your heart. And when we have that, God's going to speak. And his word will produce fruit in our lives, okay? Now, the other side of the parable that I want to land on just for a little bit is at the very beginning of this, verse 24 again. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. Do you see that there? In other words, be careful what you allow your ears to take in. And I find that it's applied two ways. You might find a few other ways. But one place that this is applied is in spiritual truths and doctrine. I know you know this, but not all things spiritual are good, right? Not all things that we are perceived as spiritual are of God. Right? And there's some spiritual things floating around the churches today. It's very dangerous. There's other adjectives I could put there. I chose dangerous. Paul, when he was writing to Timothy, Timothy is the pastor of Ephesus, and Paul writes back to him, and he says, don't entertain false teachers and their doctrines. In fact, he said some of their doctrine was a doctrine of demons, he said. And Paul warned Timothy, don't get caught up in empty debates and old wives' tales. And the same thing happens today. There's a lot of teaching out there that's nothing more than spiritual junk food. It sounds good. It's fun to eat for a little bit, but there's nothing nutritious in it at all. And it's going to give you cavities. I don't know. Maybe not. So take heed to what you hear. And let's be discerning. Now, I could go on and on. We could spend a long time just talking about all the stuff that's going on in churches today. I just want you to be on your toes. Okay? Just because you turn on Christian TV. Well, we won't go there again. Okay. But this warning also applies not only to spiritual things and doctrinal things, but it applies to secular things as well. Remember, 24, take heed what you hear. What music you listening to? What movies do you choose to watch? What are you allowing to pass through your ears and lodge into your heart and end up in your mind? Make no mistake, Christian, there are things in this world that the devil and the world would love for you to be turned into. Now, I'm not saying that you should never listen to anything secular or never watch a movie. I'm not saying that at all. But when we choose to listen to that stuff, when we choose to watch that stuff, we need to be careful. We need to exercise discernment. How much Rush Limbaugh is enough? How much Fox News is enough? And I know I ring some of our bells there. We just got to be careful. And you know, we could go into MSNBC. We could go into all this other stuff, too. I'm just helping you see that we need to be on our toes here, too. What's anointed of God? Bill O'Reilly? So we want to be on our toes. Okay? One of the great gateways into our heart and our mind is our ears. And we need to guard that gateway. So you listen to secular music some. How's the balance there between that and praise music in your life? So you listen to talk radio some. And you listen to sports talk radio all the time as you go. How are you balancing that through Bible teaching that you can put in your CD player and you can listen to as you go around? How are you balancing that? I just wanted to land there just for a little point. Here's the point of the parable, 24 and 25, in my heart, at least the way I see it. Be careful at what you listen to. Be careful to what you listen to. Listen to the Word of God and then do it. And then what happens, God will give you deeper revelation of Himself. That's quite the promise when you think about it like that. Okay? Last thing we landed on today, verse 26. Well, let's read it again, 26 to 29. He said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Now remember, the seed, if you go back in the parable of the sower, or the parable of the souls, is the seed is the Word of God, right? So the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night, rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself doesn't know how. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens immediately, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So the seed being scattered here is the Word of God. And here's what Jesus is saying. There's something powerful and effective in regards to God's Word. Now I have to tell you, as a teacher of God's Word, I really, really like this parable. And the reason is because Jesus is telling us that the Word of God has power in and of itself, and that it accomplishes what God wants to do, irregardless if my verbiage is poor, if my illustrations aren't good. It has nothing to do with me. That's why at this church, we read the Bible line by line, verse by verse. And you know, as long as I'm around here, we're going to do it. And we started John, and we went to Acts, and we went to the Corinthians, and then we went to all the way out, and we got to Hebrews. We finished the book of Hebrews. I wanted to go back to Jesus for a little bit, so now we're studying the book of Mark, and then we're going to go into the book of James. Why? It's the Word of God. Don't take my opinion. Don't listen to my opinion. My opinion does nothing for you on Thursday morning when your boss is yelling at you. Now, one thing. Toby told the funniest joke. No, that doesn't help. That doesn't help. Or not. Yeah, thank you. There's my wife. Usher. So it says here that the teacher scatters the seed of the Word of God. You know what? That's what I'm doing right now. Do you realize that seed has been scattered in your life from the moment you walked into here? We sang it in our worship songs. We do it week after week. We teach it every Sunday morning. And I can promise you this, your children are being taught it right now. Your youth are being taught it every time Jimmy meets with them. Our home groups are about the Word of God. Our women's studies and our men's group, all about the Word of God. Why? Because of this principle that Jesus is helping us understand. And what happens next in the parable? You see the parable? Oh, let me get back to it again. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. You see it, 26. And then what happens? The farmer goes home and goes to bed. That's why I like this. I'm taking a nap about 2:30. Oh, man, I really do like it. See, when the farmer wakes up in the morning, something's happened mysterious to him. He doesn't know exactly what all happened. He doesn't know about all the how the seed germinates and all that kind of stuff. All he knows is he gets up after sleeping a little bit and it's sprouting. You see it? And he should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself doesn't know how. Why? For the earth yields crops by itself. So what's he talking about spiritually? The power of God's Word in our life. That's what he's talking about spiritually. His Word works in you even when you sleep. So here's the point I think he's trying to make. The seed, what makes the seed effective wasn't the way that the farmer sowed it, but it was something about the seed itself. Isn't that great news for all of us? Our job is to spread the seed, the good news of Jesus. It isn't about fancy presentations. It isn't about long-winded sermons. It isn't about long fancy words that confuse people or your powerful preaching abilities at the lunch table tomorrow. It's telling people what God says and trusting that something happens there mysterious to us in that hearer's heart, that even though I may not see anything happening right then, it's happening. And we need to trust that, because some of us, we've been planting those seeds in people's lives for a while. Maybe your kids, all the way through their life, and you've still not seen things happen in their life. You've got to believe the promise of God here. There will come a day that sprouts, because he tells us that his Word does something supernatural in the lives of people. That's why we focus so much on God's Word, because of this principle right here. And that's why I want to encourage you, be focused on God's Word because of this principle right here. The Bible states that this is true in many places. It says in Hebrews that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper, remember, than any two-edged sword, and able to divide the soul and the spirit. You see, there's life in the Word of God. So the farmer doesn't know what's happening here. He doesn't understand the process. And we may not either. And see, the Bible isn't just an instruction manual or a list of rules to follow. It lives and it works its life into us. It has hidden and mysterious power to change a life. You know, you think about it. This book has wrestled with us. It has slapped us around some. It's comforted us at times. It's overwhelmed our hearts with joy of heaven. It's healed us. It's wounded us. It's smiled on us. At times it's frowned on us. The book has wept with us. Sung joyfully with us. It shouts to us. It whispers to us. And it preaches to us. And the idea I like about this is that some people think, well, the preacher lends life to God's Word. That's wrong. The only thing that a preacher has to give the Word of God is a voice. Same with you. The only thing that you can give to the Word of God is a voice, and that's tomorrow at the lunch table. That's tomorrow night at ball practice. Last bit, okay? 29. I couldn't go past this. When the grain ripens, immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. The word but there is the Greek word day. It means in addition to. It's not the word alaf, which means a contrast. So he's not contrasting. I wanted to say that because when you see the word but, oftentimes you think, well, that's a, well, but means a contrast. That's not this. He's saying, in addition to the fact that there should be growth and maturity, there'll come a day when there's a harvest. Now, what that means, from what I can tell, there's two different views, and I'll let you figure out which one you believe God Jesus is referring to here. One's talking about salvation, that as we hear the Word and the Word of God touches our heart, you know, then we believe and we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of our unrighteousness, and then we're born again, and at that point we've been, quote-unquote, harvested into the kingdom of God. So some would say that that's what Jesus is talking about there, is speaking of salvation. Others believe that Jesus is speaking here of death. And once we come to faith in Christ, we grow and mature, and when we when our work here on earth is done, then we die. And that's the harvest that they would say it pertains to. Again, both could fit. You study and figure it out. Two points of application as we close, okay? Related to this last parable. If all that we just read there in 26 to 29 is true, and I believe that it is, then we have to keep ourselves in a place where the Word of God is being sown into our lives. We have to keep ourselves in a place where the Word of God is being sown into our lives. And hopefully you can't get enough of it. I want to encourage you, go to a good Bible teaching church. And go every Sunday. I would encourage you. We offer Bible classes on Tuesday night. Some schlep is teaching right now, but somebody good's coming after him, I'm sure. But I'm doing it for the next couple weeks. But come on Tuesday night. We're just studying God's Word. That's what we did. That's what we did in Genesis. That's what we're doing now through these classes. Get involved in a home group. Get involved in a small group. Get involved in a women's study. Get involved. A place where you're allowing the Word of God to be sown into your life. Do daily devotions. Not because you have to. Not because pastor tells you to. But for this principle right here. And I got to tell you, there's times I do the devotions and I wonder what I even read. My brain may have been somewhere else. You know, it's bad on me. But you know, sometimes... But this principle works in my life as I just pour my heart into it. God does something in my heart as I allow His Word to flood my heart and flood my mind. It's supernatural. Start tomorrow. Start today if you don't do consistent devotions. Just, I'm not saying read the whole book of Genesis, the first night. Just read a verse. Just start with at least a verse. Take one thing out of that verse and say, Lord, I want to meditate on this as I go through my day. And so, you know, you're going through and just have a verse right there and just say, okay, Lord, well, a verse I read, Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. All right, Lord, minister to me in that verse all day. I just want to think about that. What's it mean to let my light shine, God? What's that mean? That kind of thing. Start now. Don't forget we have an enemy. So if this is the place in His Word that we need to be, then the devil's going to do all that he can do to keep you away from it. He knows how effective this book is in your life. He knows how powerful this book is. He knows the fruit that's going to be produced in you. So he's going to do all that he can do to keep you away from it. He'll tell you that you're too tired. He'll tell you that you're too busy. He'll tell you that you're too dumb to understand it. He'll tell you that you're too carnal. He'll tell you you're too cool and sophisticated for it. He'll tell you you're too sinful for it. And many of those things might be true. I'm not going to get into that. But the reality is this, that if you resist the devil in this area of your life and get to the place where the Word of God can be sown in your life, great things will happen in your life. Jesus promises. Just listening to the Word of God produces faith in you. Just listening to the Word of God cleanses you, renews your mind, brings you into the presence of God. And you can sleep through the teaching. Some are. Well, you don't get any of that either. But it has an impact. So keep yourself in that place where the Word of God is being sown into your life. Well, that's the first point of application, okay? The second one, the last one, I want to really encourage you in this. Keep sowing the Word of God into the lives of the people around you. Just keep sowing. And maybe it is with your kids. Maybe it is with your spouse. Maybe it is with your co-workers. Just keep sowing those seeds over and over again because of this principle. It may not look like it's doing any good to you, but Jesus tells us here it's having a powerful impact in their life. And you know what? You don't have to be constantly digging around in the soil wondering if this thing's getting ready to sprout. Some of us are pretty good sowers, but we're also pretty good diggers. And so we plant the seed, and we plant, and then when the seed isn't coming, we get in the soil and think, anything happening in there yet? And we're picking, and we're prodding, and we're probing, and let's rest in the fact that God's doing what God does. Amen? That God loves that person, whoever you're sowing the seed, and it's His Word that's going to bring them to faith. It's not you prodding them. It's not you nagging on them. It's not even you going all the way out to where the other extremes were. But we want to pray. We want to love. We want to minister. But we have to step back and say, God, that's Your work. And you know why? You know why? I believe this with all my heart, you know why? So no one can take credit for that but God when that person comes to the Lord. No one, you can't say, you know, well, after all, did you hear what I just, shall I share it with them? Man, most of the world got saved if I just had a big enough microphone. I mean, that was anointed, baby. I mean, I should have been at a Marilyn Manson concert. Marilyn Manson had got saved. That was that good. God says, ha ha, no, no, no. I'm not going to let your voice speak like that. Because I want my voice to be heard, God says. I want to get the credit for that which happens in the person's life. That's why He says, you sow it. You sow it. You water it. You keep loving that person, and then you trust Me with the results. Man, I was teasing about the fact that the farmer likes to go to sleep. But I love this. I love this. Because my responsibility is right here. Our responsibility is right here. And we pray and we love, of course. But we step back and say, okay, God, now You do Your thing. You go get them, Tiger. And knowing that God, man, He is just after them in a great way. Okay? Last verse. Find Isaiah 55. I want to end here. If you don't have this verse highlighted, memorized, let's find Isaiah before we get too carried away here. Isaiah 55. It's after Psalms and Proverbs toward the Old Testament, okay? If you get to Daniel and them, I think you've gone too far. Is that true? Jeremiah and them, you've gone too far. Find it, okay? Isaiah 55. It's okay. Look in the table of contents if you need to. Isaiah 55. Page 648. What? It really is right there. That's what it says, 648. All right, you get there? Now, I'm going to back up a little. Start in verse 6, but where we're headed is verse 10 and 11. Read with me in verse 6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He was near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, for He will have mercy on him. Oh boy, amen, huh? And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. That in itself, we can go for a while. Verse 8, for My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are My ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are My ways higher than your ways, and My thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10, here's why I wanted us to get there. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. There's God's promise to you. There it is, right there. That's this, as we saw the parable. God's promise about His Word. It says that His Word won't return void. It always will accomplish. Now, mine says the word, it shall accomplish. It doesn't say, well, you know, it might accomplish if you use the New King James Version. It might accomplish if you say it in the right way. It doesn't say that. It says you just sow it. You just keep telling people what God says. Now again, there may be situations where you can't pull out your Bible and quote exactly what Jesus said. But man, you can plant the seeds all over. And you don't even have to say that God said it. You just say it. Well, you know, and then tell them what Jesus said. Trusting that that's planted inside of their heart in a cool way. Okay? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the time that we have to study your word. Thank you, Lord, that even right now, even now, your word has done a supernatural thing in our lives. And Lord, I pray that we be people of faith that believe you at your word. That yes, that's happening inside of me. That you're using your word to grow me and mature me. That ultimately that I would look more like Jesus. That I'll act more like Jesus. That I'll love more like God. I thank you that it's your heart, Lord. I pray that we be yielded to the work of your Spirit in our lives. Right now. Lord, I pray that we would be people of your word. People that take your word very seriously because of what Jesus is talking about here. And Lord, I pray that you would show us now, as we just take a second and just meditate on what we talked about today and allow you to minister to our heart. Lord, are we people of your word? Not we corporately, but individually. Lord, am I a person of your word? And Lord, I pray you'd help us to recognize that maybe compared to all the other stuff that I listen to or watch, the kind of time I give your word is not very much. And I pray just simply, Lord, that if that's the case, that this morning we'd repent of that. We repent of the fact that we watch more ball than we listen to you. Or we listen to more talk radio than we listen to you. Lord, I pray we be a people quick to repent of those types of things. And so, Lord, we ask your Spirit right now to just show us if any of that is in our life. And Lord, we recognize there's an enemy. We recognize that the enemy is trying to, he robs, he steals and destroys, and he's really good at it, and he never takes a day off. But Lord, we know that greater is that you who live inside of us. And we pray, Lord, that we would make a commitment to you right now. Say, God, I want to be a man or a woman of your word. And I give you permission to change the discipline in my life. And that you would show us, Lord, is there a home group that we can get plugged into? Am I to go to the Tuesday night Bible studies? And we'd be simply obedient to you. And we thank you for that, Lord. We also thank you for the privilege we have of sowing your word into other people's lives. And Lord, I confess to you, there's times I get tired of sowing. And I'm a digger. And if I don't see fruit, I quit. And I just say, well, there you go. Lord, I'm sorry for that attitude. Lord, I pray that we would never give up sowing your word into people's lives. Because of your heart. Because of what you promise. And Lord, we pray right now as whoever those types of people are that we're sowing, whether it's people at our work or family, Lord, we lift them to you right now, God. And we're thankful that your word is planted in their heart. And we're thankful that you're going to bring that to fruition, to where they come to a place of repentance in their life, God. May we be faithful to be about the things that you call us to be about, God. So, use us in this world, Lord. Speak to our hearts now, Lord.